What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, opening a brand new Busan coffee. Whoa! Let's fucking roll, boys.
Train's leaving the station, Greg.
If you hear that conductor over there commanding the SS Scarpino, is that what you put on trains? It's none other than the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
I would like to have my train say HMS for Her Majesty's Secret Service for my train. Thank you. I'd like to be James Bond and Harry Potter.
So you...
Yeah, lots to unpack already. Yeah.
So the train is in Her Majesty.
I'm watching this movie the other day. I can't remember what the hell it was. And somebody took a train through Scotland. And I looked at it, and it was that. And you'll probably be the only person that appreciates this. It was the elevated bridge where, actually, Kevin, you're a big Harry Potter fan too, where they get attacked and then he has to eat chocolate. You know, it's the Hogwarts Express always goes over that. And I was like, that's a real bridge. I have to go to there.
So, Nick, wait, hold on. So the reference that you're pulling has nothing to do with neither Harry Potter nor.
No. Is it? So I was watching a movie Bond. Where a train went over a bridge, and I said,
and it reminded
oh my God,
you of those
that's
two
the, that's the bridge they use in Harry Potter. Apparently,
so it's a real bridge.
That's I didn't cool. know that.
In Scotland.
Scotland of all places.
You're talking about the
I would have looked.
The like wide shots where they pan, right?
Yeah, where the Dementors come and attack. Like the train stops, and the Dementors come and attack them. And then Lupin's like, eat some chocolate. And I was like, I knew there was a reason why I ate chocolate so much when I was a kid. Turns out it helps with being afraid.
I think it's just super fat. Lord.
And skinny. Yeah.
Alongside him, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas tree Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Former Israeli space security chief says extraterrestrials exist.
Yep.
And Trump knows about it. There's a galactic federation, and they've been waiting for humans to reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are.
We're not there yet. We're definitely not there yet. If this follows suit with Star Trek First Contact, we have to first achieve warp speed, which I'm not even sure is a real thing. Kevin can confirm. And second, they're not going to make contact with us now, man. They're like, half you guys don't even want to wear masks.
Yeah, I feel like this year for sure they've been looking down on us and been like, oh fuck, they are much further than we thought.
This is rough. Yeah, Kevin. It's like when you're getting a building built by like contractors and you drive by and like, oof, wow, they haven't done a whole lot in this time.
I thought they're supposed to be done on Friday, but it looks like there's no roof or floor.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Optional. Do you believe it, Andy? Do you believe that there's a galactic council?
I hope so, man. I hope so. But I saw a really, really funny video of this guy pretending to be the alien Galactic Federation interviewing Earthlings. And it's so funny. It's on Twitter. And it's this guy like, okay, let's see here. So you have enough food for everybody? Like nobody's like, obviously everybody's being fed. No, they're not. Okay. Oh, you have people that are starving. Not good. Okay. Can you show me this bird called the dodo bird? Extinct. Oh, like it's just the alien taking notes and it's so damn good. And it's just making us seem all like terrible human beings. Yeah.
Which we are. No doubt there. No denying that. And rounding out the quartet, he's Forbes 30 under 30, AKA the second best baby blues in San Francisco, AKA the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
You amazed at how fast your hair grows back?
Yeah, my hair's back enough that you don't even need to like.
Don't even need a reference. What am I going to fucking say now?
Yeah,
short hair, Tim Geddes. Next week it'll be normal.
I am amazed, but like I still have a while till I can put product in it. I feel like if I don't have product in my hair, I'm not really Tim Geddes.
Here's my question for you, though. And I know that you love the hair, and obviously you have amazing hair. And if I had your hair, I would absolutely have never shaved it for anything, even if it was to save a bunch of kids, whatever, would have done it. Yeah. I mean, clearly I didn't do it, and I have not your hair. But my question is this. You look great right now. Have you thought about just like keeping it at this length for a little bit and just riding it out? Because it's got to be way easier to manage.
Yeah, I'm having a bit of deja vu where I feel like we had this exact same conversation.
Last week.
Yes, exactly.
But now it looks really good.
Yeah, okay.
Last week it looked good, but now, Andy, like I can't see your scalp anymore. And if my hair were that short, Kevin would have to like, he would be making so much fun of me because of the glare off of my head would just be permeating through.
But Tim, remember, everyone was saying it looked good, but now they're saying they really think it looks good, except for me where I was like, it looks bad. Now I'm saying it looks good.
See, there's the deciding.
I think what everyone's saying outside of Kevin is that Tim looks good. any way, shape, or form.
No, no, definitely.
But Kevin
not.
Has a very preset notion of what Tim looks like when he considers. I mean,
he
Tim
used to be my
good.
Show pony. Is all I'm saying.
I know. God,
you should ride him.
Have
his
another
back
drag to... off the cigarette, Grandma. We've heard it. All right, we know. We know.
You used to be a good little boy. Used to be.
What the fuck does that mean? What does that mean?
The show pony thing.
Yeah.
I was going to be his kid making millions.
Yeah. I used to help him make videos, and he would make millions for us.
Got it.
Now it's just hundreds of thousands.
I think right now, Tim's hair is sort of in that Justin Timberlake, I just quit NSYNC phase.
That's the joke I made. Yeah. And this is what I'm saying to Tim is.
You made that joke?
Yeah, I made it last week. Not a big deal.
Oh, shit.
This is deja vu, and I do realize that I started last week's podcast off with this, but it's because I'm so jealous, and I want you to just consider.
Guys, if I was to give you and say, hey, do you want a burger, what do you think would come on it?
certainly not pineapple, which does belong on pizza. No, I just think you should consider keeping it this way, because I think it looks cool.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You want to get back to where you were, I assume, too.
Yeah, definitely. Why? I'm fine with this, but like, I feel like everyone else is saying that I look better than I think I look.
No, you're
and
right.
It's like, you know, at the end of the day.
It's natural. Don't we all think we look worse than we actually do?
No, I'm pretty spot on. Kevin reminds me. Kevin reminds me every day how I look. But what I'm saying to you, Tim, is like, you've got your hair is so great. It's like having multiple sports cars. So like now you have the convertible that you can jump in.
Uh-huh.
When did you draw this, Greg? Like, that is an ornate.
It's not really. If you're a audio listener, I'm holding up the sign that says Tim Rocks. Oh, it's backwards because Kevin flipped me.
No, it's right.
Andy, does it kind of look like when you have to read it backwards? Does it kind of look like Team Rocket? Because that's what I thought it looked.
So yesterday we had a meeting, and Tim was doing a great job. So I made Tim Rocks, but I also made Nick Porks. So just putting that.
And if you read that backward, wait.
Speaking of that,
hold that back up, Greg. What's it when you read it backward? Scorpkin. Yeah, Scrop. Bro. Scropkins. Yeah, bro.
What? Yeah, bro. What? When was the last time you ever heard somebody say like, "Oh, they were porking"?
Like, I guarantee Nick said it in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That's probably
it was either Nick or Greg saying it, making fun of Nick as if it's something Nick would say. Because that
let's call a spade here, right? Like, let's get real. There's loving, there's having sex, there's banging, and then there's porking. And I don't know if you guys have ever porked before.
Tell me
you definitely want to pork though.
What is it when you were talking about all these different, when you're on the Nick Scarpino love making scale, where does porking fall? What is porking?
Porking is where you're done and you're like, how could everything be so saturated? Everything.
Yeah.
Like glazed, glazed, everything's glazed.
Or is it
porking? No, it's
porking,
not good.
Porking is the smelliest really version good. Of it all.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
good
it's
while
sure
it's
good.
Happening, but after it's done, you're like, I have to
pork. Porking's like in a camper. You're out. You've been out. You've been out in the wilderness. Now you're back, and it's the camper. It's too hot, but you got to.
Yeah, it's like when you're mid stride, and you go, I might pass out right now. It's so hot in here. It's like a sauna, but you keep going.
Yeah,
that's
the only way out is through.
Pork. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather around this microphone to come talk to you and bullshit with each other. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can be part of the show with your questions. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do, and you can support us and say, hey, you're doing a great job, Kind of Funny. If you think we're doing just a so-so job and don't want to give us any money, I understand. Pork your brains out. You know what I mean? Go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com. And of course, podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a bunch of best friends hanging out together. Tim, what did you just do? Did Jesus just walk in your room? What happened over there?
I didn't like the blue.
Oh, I've never seen it change in real time on the camera. Well, I probably haven't. I just don't remember. But now we're all just watching you. Yeah. Now you're in a doctor's office.
It looks like an unrendered CGI thing.
Nobody's asked me about my lights.
They are all dark. I noticed that. I thought that was just a choice. I thought you were in mourning.
No,
Andy,
that's a Nick
move, just so you know.
I'm restarting my phone, Kevin. Well, I got an update, new Android update.
Our lives.
Phone
suck.
Control the lights.
I just want to let everyone know right now. This is where we're at.
No, they're great, man. Look at and Nick got a beanbag back there, and I think he has an oversized Grand Theft Auto on it. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Oh no, I want to get into that a second. Remember, of course, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our Patreon producers: Jared Dessert, Cypress Bill, Julian the Gluten Free Gamer, DJ Kento, Steve. I've got the power. Kieran O'Donnell, Alexander Noxel. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Honey, BetterHelp, and The Legend of Bumbo, available now in Google Play for $14.99, and Play Pass holders can play it for free, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Nick, what's going on with that beanbag?
Oh, the beanbag is the beanbag from the studio, Greg. And as you guys know, I've had just a bear of a time trying to get furniture delivered here. Most of it's come broke. Some of it hasn't come at all. It's taking forever because of COVID. So I asked Kevin if we needed that beanbag from the studio. He was like, no, take it. Got it here. It's horribly uncomfortable. I totally forgot about that. It is not a fun thing to sit in. I cannot use it at all. But as you guys can probably hear, I need something to try and gobble up some of the reverb in this room. So
that'll definitely do it. That one beanbag tucked in the corner. Yeah, PlayStation box. That's going to suck up all the time.
I tried it in the center of the room, Greg. And then I tried. Now I'm trying over in the corner. And Kevin's
taking it. We come back next week. It's nail gun to the wall. Yeah. Just hanging right behind you, trying to catch it.
Above me. I just picture Nick like cutting it in half and trying to manage all the beans in there.
Wait, Greg. I want to shout you out because that is the most astute observation you could have possibly made. Why does it look like you have a giant copy of Grand Theft Auto Vice City on your beanbag?
It looks like he went to GameStop and they had like the giant spinning cardboard one hanging up there, and he took it down and put it on the beanbag.
Well, it's a funny story. I went to GameStop and they had a giant spinning cardboard thing, and I just took it down. That's actually a poster from that comedy show I did on the boat. The Austin, my co-producer on that, had him blown up and framed and signed him for everyone, and he put in a really nice message on mine, which is cool. But thanks for making fun of it, guys.
It's not making fun of it. It just looks like Grand Theft Auto.
That looks like something you pork on.
I was gonna say that, Greg. That's a good call. It's a good callback. I was thinking it, and I'm glad you brought it back to the porking on the beanbag.
Anytime, baby.
Nick, I have still a lot of leftover soundproof panels that you can come pick up if you'd like.
Oh yeah, maybe.
It'll add some pattern to your room. You know what I mean? You could do like the square. Like you don't have to do like a full wall of it, but you could do like square and then square and then square and then square and kind of make it look like chic. You know, like a cool room, like people respect you. Go ahead, Kevin.
Kevin, he's still in the middle of these sentences. What do you guys? You can do Nick.
I'm gonna be honest, I've had too many Butterfingers. This is my fault, and I got too much energy. My bad. I'm gonna get it out.
I'm right there with you. It's been a day.
I just want like there to be a situation where the police are called to Kevin's house and the police are there. They're like, sir, what is the problem? He's like, I'm sorry. I've had too many Butterfingers.
Just they're like candy. Like Kevin sees a crime and he's the only witness. And they're like, what did the guy look like? Oh, my God. And then I was waiting here. And then they're like, what's wrong with this guy? Too many Butterfingers.
Have you ever had a cop pull you over with a sense of humor?
No.
No.
Right? That's sad when you think about it. Because I want to be jokey and jovial with them. I don't want it to be super serious. I mean, not that unless you murdered somebody or whatever, but I mean just getting pulled over for a minor infraction.
So yeah,
I prefer it to be more fun. Over.
Yeah, I'll never forget there was a I've been pulled over several times and it's always like I'm always worried. I'm always paranoid that like what if a local drug dealer found my car and put 2 tons of cocaine in it? You know, those are the things you don't know, Greg. You know, I don't know that, right? And there was one time I was driving down from Austin back home to the RGV where we don't play no games. And there was a lot of construction and I totally missed a turn. I totally missed the place I was supposed to exit. And I ended up going off course, I don't know, at least like an hour or 2 hours, just off in a different direction that I was not supposed to be in.
Sure.
So I get stopped by a cop and I think they stopped me because of I think he said like you're speeding and he was like, but you know, the construction, I forgot what exactly it was. He's like, where are you headed? I said, I'm going to the Rio Grande Valley. And he was like, really? It's like, you are nowhere close to like,
you are going the opposite direction, sir.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I know that. I had my navigation up and my dad had called me and I was like, I got mixed up. And then immediately he's like, I am suspicious of this guy.
Sure.
What if what's he hiding? Is he trafficking stuff?
He looks like he likes drugs.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. And so it immediately became, oh my gosh, I know what this cop is thinking. He's thinking that I'm like, you know, moving bodies, moving drugs, moving RTX 3080 graphics cards. Because Nick, did you hear that? Oh, like $400,000 of RTX cards were stolen in Japan. Anyway, it's crazy stuff.
Get. They're too hard to get. You got to steal them.
They did that with PS5s too on a truck, right? That's what I heard.
Yeah. So immediately I get worried, and then he kind of understands that I'm not up to anything crazy, and like kind of becomes like cooler cop, luckily, and was like, okay. Well, what you want to do, man, just go down this way and then do that. And I was like, thanks, man. I appreciate that, dude. And like, I get so scared, obviously, just because I'm paranoid all the time.
I imagine he was like, oh, yeah, no, man, no problem, man. What you got to do is you got to just go down two exits that way, make a right. It's going to put you right in there. Hey, man, you got any Coke to sell? And you're like, yeah, man, I got 2 pounds of Coke.
Oh, you got me. I like that because, yeah, when I was 16, I was driving back from a Monday Night Raw way too late from the Allstate Arena, Rosemont Horizon, never forget. And I got totally turned around. You know what I mean? This is before you had GPS or whatever. So I got lost and I made an illegal U-turn. This cop was like camped out in this driveway of facility. And this cop was like camped out there and came and got me. And I expressed to him that I was completely lost. And he's like, all right, and gave me the ticket and walked away. I was like, oh, you fucking dick. Like, you could help. And then today I had one that I didn't realize till later how comical the situation was. But then reflecting on it, I don't think a police officer would have thought it was funny at all. Where today I went to the doctor. I went to the eye doctor, right? Because, it turned out my original cancer doctor, super lax, which is something Steimer used to always say he was. Because whenever I show up for my cancer appointments, he would just ask me about Mizzou football, and then he would give me chemotherapy and leave. And so, like, she was always like, this guy's not. And so eventually he retired. I got a new cancer doctor who's way more on top of everything. I'm like, no, don't do this and don't do that. And
yet, so, like, yet. Wait, when he walked in, the guy was like, hey, man, what's going on? You're like, nothing. And he's like, you still have cancer? You're like, I don't know.
You tell me, dude. You tell me, dude.
Sorry.
But this new doctor, like earlier this year, pushed of like, hey, too. And like, you know, you're vulnerable to a million different things. You haven't had an eye exam in a long time. You should go get your vision like all checked out just to make sure. Yada, yada, yada.
Wait, I was like, yeah. So the cancer makes you more susceptible to having like eye issues?
No, dude, my whole fucking body, I'm susceptible to everything. I'm Mr. Burns with all the fucking things getting pushed through the doorway. Anything could kill me. Everything keeps me alive. Perfect. But she was very much like, you know, just be careful. I'm like, all right, cool. We're busy. I didn't go to the eye doctor right away. Then months ago, I had gotten eye strain. I was like, fuck. Then you start panicking. And, you know, I get a hangnail now. I think it's somehow related to cancer coming back. So I had gone to the doctor to get new glasses. That had solved my problem. Yes, Andy Cortez, kind of funny.
What's an eye strain?
Eye strain where I would like your eyes hurt, a headache, you know what I mean? Like, basically it's like just your eyes are fucking killing you. And
do they get water? Do yours get like extremely watery?
That's not one of my symptoms, no, of eye strain, no.
It's more headache.
It could be.
Andy, that's crying.
But eye pain and like stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, it just hurts. Like, and you see where I blow out my blood vessels a lot. What I used to call Destiny 2 eye from that one time I played 12 hours of Destiny and blew apart my eye. It's happened since then. Anyways. I got new glasses, which had fixed the eye strain. I stepped back off my monitor a bit from working from home. But then the week before Thanksgiving, as I think a lot of people caught, we talked about it on a couple of different shows, like totally overdid it with being, I think, too close to my screen, looking at my phone, working on my laptop, playing the PlayStation 5 review stuff. And so like I was fucking dying in the eyes. I started wearing the Gunners. I'm currently wearing my brand new Movement Everscroll. So when I'm at my machine here, I use those. But I digress. I made an eye appointment again because I'm like, fuck, maybe this doctor was right. And the other doctor I went to for the glasses didn't give me the full rigmarole. When I expressed like, oh yeah, my cancer doctor said, he's like, we don't actually test for like glaucoma and all that stuff. You should see an optician or whatever the fuck there. So I went and saw that guy today. Made the appointment. They're just like, all right, cool. Here's your thing. You're 37. You know how the eye doctor works. I'm like, I sure do. Showed up today, get all the things. He's like talking to me. He's giving me drops in the eyes. He's bringing in that weird glaucoma or glucose or whatever the fuck it is, thing that touches your eyes. No, it doesn't spit anymore. That's what I said. Oh. You can give me the air thing. He's like, oh, we don't do that one anymore. We do this one. And he had numbed my eye, and the little blue thing gets closer and closer and then just taps your eye. But you don't feel it because you don't know.
It's fucking dumb.
It's fucking crazy.
And so, but I, of course, yeah, if anybody remembers, mainly Nick and Tim, I guess, from the Not Another Zombie Apocalypse or whatever that IGN thing was, where I cannot have people touch my eye. Like, it was such a, he's talking to me about video games and like, this eye, it worked and this eye did not work, where I was like, oh, I'm not getting distracted by you. I know what you're up to. Andy Cortez.
Okay. How is the eye made numb in the first place?
He puts drops in there.
It's just like,
really?
Eye drops.
Yeah.
It numbs your entire cornea.
And that way, like, when you don't feel it touching, you still see it coming, and my eye's super sensitive, so it was like freaking out about that. But once it's on your eye, you don't feel it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, okay.
And does all this stuff, right? And he's like, all right, cool. And he came back to the test, like, all right, cool. You know, time for you to, you know, it's a good, your eyes are healthy, you're great. I'm like, yeah, thanks so much, man. And I had already hit up Jen. I was like, hey, do you, you know, we're close to this bagel place. You want a bagel sandwich? She's like, yeah, I did. Oh, and yeah. I was like, all right, cool. I was going to put it on caviar. Yeah. What do you got for me, Tim?
I just love that the story ends with cops.
You'll get there.
Like, remember that,
guys. Kevin, also, I sent you an, I sent you a YouTube video. We don't need the YouTube video. We will need the song when I call for it. So don't worry about it yet, okay?
Big plot twist, Nick.
It is a big plot twist.
Wait, you want to hear the song, though, huh?
Yeah, is that possible?
I mean, not without them seeing the video, without them.
Oh, I don't care if they see the video. It just doesn't mean anything to what I'm talking about.
Got it.
Anyways, so he's like, all right, cool. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, got up, pulled out my phone, and I couldn't read my phone. And it was because I was like, oh, man, fuck, yeah, the drops in my eyes or something. I was like blinking, and I couldn't read my phone in any way, shape, or form. Just like, you can see big picture stuff, obviously, but not this. And so I walked over to check out, and she's like, yeah, you're all set to go. And she's like, oh, do you have sunglasses? And I'm like, no. And she goes, oh, yeah, because your eyes are super dilated. And I was like, oh, okay. So she gave me like what my grandma Miller used to wear, those like fucking inserts to put on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But like, I did all that. And then I walked out and I got in the car because I drove myself.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was like, not good. And I had the order was already in on caviar. So like, it was like, I didn't need to like add or take anything out. So I just tapped the buttons and I ordered pickup. And then I just drove over to the bagel shop and I got out and I got a coffee and I was like, but it'll clear up. I got to the coffee place and I just squint my eyes so hard because it was outside and the sun was there. And then I got in there and I got the fucking coffee and I looked at my phone and I still couldn't read my phone. And I went back to the bagel shop and I got the bagels and then I got in the car and I drove home. And again, you know, my thought process on this was simple. They would tell me, you bring somebody to the eye doctor. You don't know why, you know, somebody's got to drive you home, right? Like bring somebody to drive you home or something. And don't drive a car or something if you're not supposed to. But I when I got in the car and I could see big picture, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm blind. It's not like it's just objects. It was just close up. I couldn't read anything, any minute details. So then I just got the bagels and I drove home and I came in and I put the bagels down. I was talking to Jen about it. And she's like, let me see. And I pulled the thing and I put up an Instagram photo of this. My eye completely fucking dilated. And yeah, she was like, put the shades back on. That's disgusting.
I'm never sleeping with you again.
And then,
you're gross. Yeah.
And then she was like, so wait, like, what about it? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can't read my phone. I can't read any of this stuff. And she's like, oh my God, like I should have come and got you and did this. I'm like, yeah, how would we have known? And yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I'm sure it's fine. And this is how it's supposed to be. And of course she Googles and it's very much like, no, don't drive home after they dilate your eyes. Like you shouldn't do any of this stuff. Yeah, Kevin's getting it pulled up here if you want to see my dopey ass face and my dilated eye. But
I hate this picture so much.
Like we gotta turn the FOV down on
like do you know what like, do you guys I can actually like smell the hot beer breath that this picture makes.
Oh
me
yeah, you've had that happen to you, haven't you?
When like you know, when one of your friends like, and Greg's, you do this, you don't do this so much anymore. But back when we first started at IGN, when you were like, I'm going to be the loudest human being on the planet, you used to get, and you were big, and you would get close, and you'd be like, Scarpino, we're going places. And I'm like, man, I can taste the IPA on your breath. Actually, back then, I don't even think you were drinking IPAs. I think it was.
I like how you say you don't do this. Is an IGN thing. This is on the Kind of Funny podcasters in the studio. You've yelled at me in review for reeking of beer and yelling.
You love it. It smells like warm beer. That's like you know those like those the smells or the sights or the senses that you're like are kind of bad, but they make you they give you warm feelings because one of your like family members was kind of an alcoholic, and you're like, oh, but he was, well, you know. Uncle Lou was funny, you know. That's kind of
gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love gasoline. Yeah, it's good.
So
gasoline's bad, but it's good.
I'm telling Jen all this. We're going over the thing. She's looked it up that you can't, and then the kicker is, and this only works for her until you hear the song. Is that I was listening to this very specific French song that she turned me on to a couple weeks ago, totally as a joke or whatever. And so then we're both in hysterics, even her doing like the Greg wheeze laugh. Envisioning me driving through the streets of San Francisco, running red lights, up on the curbs, dragging the fences behind me, listening to this song. Kevin, please play it.
Fuck.
And then let it go, Kev. Let it go. We're going to get claimed. Who cares?
I don't think we're gonna get, I don't know if we're gonna claim that this one.
But just imagine me driving, not a care in the world, big old grin on my face.
Old ladies diving
out of the way, they're grabbing their dogs, you know, things are exploding or whatever.
Bring up the Instagram, okay? I want to hear this while I'm looking at this.
It's a Mr. Magoo sketch, man.
Jen was like, please get them to do a kind of funny doodle of this a vision of you playing, listening to Le Compagnon Creole say bon pour le morale. Like, and in my thought process to get this back, no, let it, please let it play longer. It's just because it's still accompanying. Imagine me getting pulled over. And I roll down the window in the office, and I'm listening to this song, eyes as big as fucking saucers. It's like, what's going on? I'm like, I just came from the eye doctor. I don't know.
It's definitely one that there's so much going on that if I were a cop, like a veteran cop, I would look at you and be like, just go.
Just go. Listen, how close to home are you? Can you get home?
Just fucking go.
Please tell me you're close to home. And if you reacted that way, like, I just got my eyes violated, I'd be like, well, I mean, why are you acting that way, though? Like, you're not under some sort of laughing gas or pain medicine.
So I want to use this to pivot to a question from the one and only God. Jeremy Zuccarello, who writes at patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. It says, what are some knowledge gaps that you've had in your life? I'm using personally mine right here, that you're not supposed to drive a vehicle after getting your eyes dilated. Jeremy continues, for example, it wasn't until high school that I realized that in the song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, that the dad was dressed as Santa.
That's pretty
interesting.
Funny.
I never thought of that.
Oh my God. I never thought of that.
Are you guys serious? You thought she was just cheating?
I thought she was cheating. I thought she was like, there's some other guy to party is dressed as Santa Claus. Maybe, you know, but back in the day, they used to do the key things. We put the keys in the punch bowl. And then everyone would go to whoever.
That's not back in the day, baby.
I just feel like it was.
What are you doing next Saturday?
I just feel like it was a different time. Back then,
I like to get my own fucking
grandma. Grandma was getting run over by reindeers. Like, I just took it literal. I don't like, is grandma being run over by a reindeer a different thing for a different thing now? Like, are we?
No,
is
that literal? She got run over by a reindeer. This is just, I mean, the lyrics are pretty clear that, like,
it's not like just a commentary on like drunk driving or something, or
probably
because I never took this as a dad is Santa dressed as Santa.
Why? What?
I just thought she was fucking Santa. I don't know.
Well, I never thought it was literal Santa. I just imagined she was like a Santa came to the house. Some guy dressed as Santa, sexy Santa, and they made out because dad.
That's
you
not
know,
what you believe. Thought. That's not.
Dad doesn't
thought,
pay attention.
I don't believe you.
Dad doesn't pay attention to mom so much anymore. So mom had to go find some.
Dad's
some
busy
strange.
At work. He's working overtime. It's Christmas. Exactly. It's Christmas holidays. He works at Best Buy. He's working late hours for all the Black Friday shoppers. So I just pictured.
He doesn't have to work the hours. You know what I mean? He likes it. And that's the thing is he says he's doing it for his family, but they always get in the argument. We're like, no, you just like working there. You enjoy it. Yeah. You don't like being home with this family. I got to take care of these two fucking kids. Meanwhile, the youngest kid just keeps eating Twinkies, will not stop eating Twinkies. And I don't know what to do. I locked him in the closet and now he's got a claustrophobia.
Exactly.
You know?
Wow. Exactly. See, who's to say it's not just a single mom?
Right? That's true. If maybe daddy dad's had dead. Only seen mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
Well, you know.
Like, daddy is in the picture, for sure.
Yeah, but is he? Because but this kid's probably stupid and young, and dad went for a pack of cigarettes 3 years ago, and the kid's like, he's going to come home any day now. And mom's like, yeah, kid, keep thinking about that. Here's a Twinkie. Here's a Twinkie. Here's a Twinkie. You know.
Twinkies are good.
You don't
Your
eat
dad
enough.
Dad never left you, though. You know what I mean?
I know. He's a great guy. Like, Luis Carpino's still around.
The weird mix
guy.
Of like reality and just like a weird, I almost dare I say, fantasy that Nick has. Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, my parents very still. It's 50 years anniversary.
I guess. Wow. Congratulations. I guess what I'm getting at is I never fully read or understood all of the lyrics. Much like yesterday, Tim, when we were doing In Review. And Kevin kind of pointed out that the lyric is like a knight in shining armor from a long time ago. It's like, that is a stupid fucking lyric. You're right. I never thought of that. Like,
<It's> so dumb.
How? That's a great lyric.
It is. But Greg, they're 50 years old. It's a great lyric. They don't understand.
Hold
it's
on, Greg. You weren't on Karate Kid in Review yesterday. Yeah. I need to update you on one thing, which is the conversation we're having right now, where obviously Makuga and Nick kept singing this song, which is an amazing song. But when you start great breaking song. It down and looking at the lyrics, like many songs, it's a little silly. Kevin was really hung up on not liking the line, like a knight in shining armor from a long time ago. And Nick got upset with Kevin. And Nick's response was like, what, you wanted to be like from a couple of years ago? Like, Nick thought Kevin was just hung up on the time frame.
From 2 months ago.
No,
I was like, Nick, Kevin's not like mad about the setting of where this night is. It's just the fact that the lyric is like a knight in shining armor.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
Like, it was all of it. I thought he just had an issue with it being from a long time ago, but Kevin's like, no, it's pretty much the total same that I have an issue with.
I think it slaps.
See, I mean, everyone agreed. Obviously, everyone agreed that Peter Cetera's "Glory of Love" is phenomenal. But Tim's 100%. I mean, Tim, also what you're dealing with here is just 80s lyrics, and 80s lyrics weren't as sophisticated as we are now, where we used a lot of symbolism and a lot of more figurative language. You just had to write what like you wanted what, right? people to see. So you didn't want to be like,
I think it was Madonna who wrote "PP Go Inside," right?
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, yeah, they were very to the point of what they were.
Yeah,
they were.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of now. I mean, this question. Let's go back to this question really quick about just like what was it? Blind spots or
knowledge gaps?
Knowledge gaps. Jeremy has
another example. One of my friend's gaps was that he thought the word turret was pronounced turrent until we were in college.
Well, the one that blew me away 100% was the first time we had, maybe it wasn't the first time, it was the second or third time. I can't remember how many times we had party. We had Gary on the podcast one time, and he said, champing at the bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and this is how, you know me, I'm like, fucking Gary,
you idiot.
What an idiot. And then I think it was one of you, maybe it was Tim, I was like, wait a minute, did you say champing?
And you're like, oh, wait, he's a writer.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, he is not only a writer, Andy, like I'm a writer. I write in my journal and notes and comics I do write checks that my ass can't cash. But Gary gets paid to write. And so I was like,
That's what Gary makes him a writer.
Exactly. And that's why I was wrong. And it is champing at the bit, but it doesn't make any fucking sense because chomping at the bit makes way more sense. But champing apparently is how they say it in London.
Well, I mean, this is how the saying is.
And everywhere else.
No one says that.
I don't think I have any knowledge gaps. I think I'm pretty solid across the board, except for.
You still don't know what macaroni and cheese tastes like right now.
That's a great point.
True. That's true. Except for the fact, Kevin, that this whole time I thought mom was kissing Santa Claus.
But I just give it to you, Andy, that you just never thought about it.
Yeah.
You just took it, that one line, and you're like, cool. You never listened past verse one of that song.
Exactly. I mean, who does? I mean, only Greg Miller does because he was able to recite the lyric from memory.
Well, we all know that he's some sort of weird computer that one day.
Say boom, boom, bing, bing, say boom, boom. That's the song we just listened to.
Miller, if you're learning French songs, like that's where the line is. Like at some point, we have to stop.
We have to stop you, cut you off here, buddy.
That's rough.
I'm the opposite of Andy, man. I'm just like knowledge gap after knowledge gap. Like I can't even think of one right now because there's just so many holes in my mind.
Okay.
You know? Nah, sure. I mean, I'll take that back, Tim. I'm pretty stupid. Like I've said this a lot of times before. Knowledge is just remembering a lot of stuff, and I don't remember a lot of stuff. I just don't.
Well, you don't keep it in that. You got big other priorities. You like to be in the now. You like to get out there. You like to click heads. You like to rip them to shred. And you don't worry about
ripping the shred
because usually everything behind you, Andy, is dead.
Exactly. Wow, you rhymed that all. That was really, really good.
Well, that's not my knowledge gap.
So the reason I'm sort of saying that is because I read this really long thread about the effects of ADHD and how basically one of the comments that sort of made me think about this was being extremely obsessed with something and then immediately losing interest.
Yeah, you put up a list of games, right?
That like for no reason. Reason at all. And that was a lot of my experience with Ghost of Tsushima, where, and just to clarify, it's not like I put 300 hours into Ghost of Tsushima and said, immediately got over it. Like, no, I was maybe 12 to 15 hours in and was really liking it and then just stopped playing it out of nowhere for no reason at all. And it's not like I was bored of it or angry or, you know, mad at it or whatever. I just I just lost interest in it for no reason, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After I had been enjoying it. And then somebody in the thread was like, yeah, also, another sort of like effect of ADHD is just having like these memory lapses and not remembering a lot of important stuff. And he talked about his favorite games and now he doesn't remember anything about them. And I'm like, you know what? Like my favorite games of all time, I have little
moments.
Images I can see in my head or video clips of like what happened in the game. But when it comes to the grander plot and character moments, there's a lot of stuff I don't remember about the Mass Effect franchise, which is like my favorite trilogy, you know, like it's just weird. I feel like if I were to ask Greg what happened in his favorite game, he could tell you the plot of what happened. And there might be some knowledge gaps in there, but for the most part, he would know. But for me, it's like
Last of Us spoiler cast for Last of Us 1.
No.
That we recorded like a couple months ago, right before 2 came out, where we had Nick come on and Greg did a spoiler cast. And I was like, hey, cool. Greg, keep the plot. Like, just do a real quick plot thing. An hour and 40 minutes later.
He's like, oh, let me tell you one thing right now about Ben. Joel's jeans. Joel's jeans were a perfect color of indigo. And you're like, all right, there's too many details in that.
That's
not normal.
They would just talk about what they liked and didn't like. I hate the recaps.
It's wild to me.
You take away the recaps and everybody's like, where's the recaps?
Where did the recaps go? You guys don't care.
Like when I think about Mega Man X, one of my favorite games ever.
Real quick. Mike L in the chat goes, Ellie, the beans. You remember the beans? People Nick? were so pissed off at us. We can't win.
They were so mad. When I think about Mega Man X is one of my favorite games I've beat several times. Like, I don't remember the order of bosses to take. I have to Google it every time. It's just stuff like that that I have such a bad memory of. And when it comes to knowing facts and knowing what happened in this war and who was commanding these troops, I don't fucking remember a damn thing about anything, dude. Anything. And I feel dumb because of it.
I mean, that's also repetition, right? And that's hard. Like, I remember a lot of plot things from a lot of movies that I'm able to recall, but movies are only, you know, 2-hour experiences, and I tend to watch them over and over again because of that. But I'm with you, Andy. I mean, it's also possible that I'm very, you know, I have ADHD as well. And I'm sure Tim is probably rolling his eyes right now, like, yeah, no shit, Nick. But but like, I'm with you where like I can remember moments of games, but not a huge plot point. I couldn't tell you the plot like behind any of the games that I played. Jesus Christ, I started playing Cold War yesterday and I was just like, I gotta skip through this stuff. I don't even want to know the plot of this game. Let me just get to killing people. But yeah, I just feel like maybe that's just indicative of you play a lot of games and those experiences. Also with 15-hour games, like it's not uncommon for you just to be like, I've put 15 hours into this. Like, maybe it's just not that compelling of a narrative to keep you going for another 15 hours. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but I think that's part of it too. But you talk about having more symptoms than just that.
Yeah, I mean, I would understand if I was like, you know what, I'm not really feeling this Ghost of Tsushima game. Like, I was addicted to something like a high mark for me is when I play the game off stream in the morning, and that was a game that like I would wake up at Saturday at like 10:30, 11 a.m. and like, oh, let me fire up this game and play it in bed. You know, I usually save all my game playing for stream and stuff. So I really enjoyed the game and just out of nowhere, just didn't care anymore. Done. And that's what same thing happened with Fall Guys as well, where I was addicted to that game too. You and I played off stream a couple times, Greg, and then I just stopped caring out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and
but that's that kind of game though. Like, and Fall Guys, the developers probably know that. Like, I bet all games like that get super hot for a second, there's a steep fall off curve at a certain point. It's got to be, right? It's just such a repetitive experience.
I think part of it comes from how you play games too, Andy. It's just, and again, I'm not trying to say too hard ADHD or whatever, but I'm saying like, I think, you know, you stream so much that is a in the now, in the moment, what are you feeling? Even today, like, you know, like, playing Halo with Mike on the Butterfinger stream. I was like, what are you streaming tonight? As we were signing off, he's like, I'm gonna play more Halo because I got this. And it's like, oh, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like so foreign to me where I kind of plan out like what I'm doing as I pass the baton between things, right? Like, it'd be weird for me to start a game today and be like, you know what? This is going in the rotation today, because I'd be more worried about, I want to try to knock out all the Avengers stuff today, to talk to Ashley Birch on We Have Cool Friends tomorrow, to then be ready for Cyberpunk whenever we finally get codes for that or I buy it.
I want it so bad.
When we eventually get codes for that.
I know, right?
Chill and buy it for you guys.
Yeah.
Say boom, boom, bing, boom, bing, boom, boom, boom. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't point out one of my knowledge gaps was I didn't know where New Zealand was until I watched that Monopoly documentary in like 2015. So there you go.
Yeah.
What do you mean documentary?
I watched a documentary about Monopoly but in the early days of Kinda Funny. Mm-hmm. And it did the whole thing of like it brought champions from around the world together to play. And it went around the globe and it was like England. It showed the person in this place. And then it went New Zealand. I was like, New Zealand's down there. I always thought it was up by Norway.
I feel like we're kind of misunderstanding this question.
Knowledge gap.
Because,
man.
But it's okay. Yeah, but when I think of knowledge gaps, I think of like for 20 years, I sang this song lyric as this when it was really this.
Well, that's like, more 20 years, like, for 30 some years, I thought New Zealand was by Norway.
No, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a knowledge gap is like, I don't understand part
cooking.
Of
cooking.
Right. Or like our biology or like or math. Those are my knowledge gaps, that things that I just don't. I've never excelled at and don't really have any context for. You know, because I don't have a use for my life. Misinterpreting a lyric in a song is just my nom de plume. I do that just to annoy Tim most of the time.
Yeah, that's why you do it, yeah.
That's why.
Oh, I mean, I'm lazy as well. That's probably 50-50, also, yeah. 51, 49.
You could look it up, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I just feel like there's so many knowledge gaps in. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I always thought you pronounced projectile, protojectile, until Kevin made fun of me. And then I stopped. I said milk funny. So now I say milk.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember milk. Yeah.
I never said milk. I never did.
That's what you used to
say. You said milk right now.
Milk is what I say. It's milk. With an E, not an A.
Milk. Oh, milk, like an elk with an M, like a married elk. Mm-hmm.
That's how I grew up knowing it. But like the milk. Very mean about that, guys.
Milk felt
very mean.
It's milk.
Yeah, milk.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's have a word from our sponsor.
The Legend of Bumbo, the prequel to The Binding of Isaac, is available now on Android devices. The cardboard Bumbo the Brave fights all things grotesque in this distinctive spin on a match four puzzle game, co-created by Edmund McMillen, who you probably know as the guy behind Binding of Isaac and Super Meat Boy, has partnered with artist/programmer James Interactive to bring you The Legend of Bumbo. You get to play as one of many Bumbos, each with its own unique abilities as they smash, bash, and splash their way through a variety of cardboard monstrosities, giant bosses, and dark personal urges. There's some amazing music in this game by Ridiculon. If you haven't heard this, it's dope. The puzzle-based deck-building roguelike prequel to The Binding of Isaac features a cardboard coin-hoarding character, Bumbo the Brave. When Bumbo's only coin is stolen by a mysterious entity and pulled down into the sewer, Bumbo finds himself facing droves of deranged enemies, lost children, his fears, and eventually the beast that stole his beloved coin. It's a lot. The match four puzzle system is presented with an overarching theme of greed and a bit of toilet humor. There's lots of unlockables and a lot of poop jokes, which, you know what? None of us are above. We might want to pretend we are, but I know from personal experience, we are not. Mm-mm. Legend of Bumbo, available now on Google Play for $14.99, and Play Pass holders get it for free.
Up next is Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? And have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if your loan is approved and accepted, then most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has more than 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Up next, ladies and gentlemen, it is honey. Imagine this. You make a list of gifts you're going to buy for the holidays, and then someone randomly gives you the money to help buy one. Sound good? Well, that's what Honey is doing. They're helping pay for $1 million worth of gifts. Yes, you're probably wondering, is this the same Honey that automatically searches for promo codes online? Yes, yes it is. And you know I love it, talk about it all the time and use it all the time, which I'm sure I will in a second. With Honey, you can also make a list of all the holiday gifts you want from certain stores, and Honey will email you when the price drops on anything on your list. Just add Honey to your computer, create a free account, and then throw some holiday gifts on your drop list for a chance to win. Honey will randomly select winners and give them the money to help buy something off their list. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, there's all sorts of stuff I need to buy for my family, for Jen, which I don't want to say on camera, you know what I mean? Stuff for Lucy, the roommate, and all that jazz. It's easy to add. You know how much I love Honey. Honey installs in 2-3 clicks. It's free. It finds the promo code. It saves you money. It's great. And now they're doing this. Get some free stuff, or at least the chance to. There's no purchase necessary. You need a PayPal account to redeem the prize. It's only valid in the U.S., and the giveaway ends on December 21st, 2020. Get honey for free at joinhoney.com/kinda. That's joinhoney.com/kinda. I can't say enough good stuff about Honey. I love Honey quite a bit. And finally, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. They'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You know how much we talk about mental health here on Kinda Funny, and everybody struggles. If you can benefit from this, please do so. Visit their website and read the full testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/kindafunny. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health and with the help of an experienced professional. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special thing for the Kinda Funny podcast. Listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/kindafunny.
Milk Duds.
If only
Milk Duds. That's our sponsor. I don't know. I
remember
totally
when Kevin ate too many Butterfingers? The question.
Yeah, 15 minutes ago. Have we heard from Kevin in a second?
Nick. He's crashed. He's sleeping.
Yeah.
The body here. Absolutely
I'm
crashed.
I'm still here.
I know.
Kevin, crack off another Butterfinger.
How many Butterfinger did Blessing bring you?
Just two of the two packs. And I'm going to be 100% honest. I only had half of one of them. Yeah. So it's just chocolate works faster when you get older, it turns out. You know?
Hell, it makes you poop sometimes.
Sure. So I itch everywhere.
Greg, do you have a topic to talk about?
I sure do. Do you have something else to say?
I do, but I can say
do it. We can save this, or we can do it, or it can be short. Okay. What do you got?
I want to talk about some shit that's going on right now that I know is very near and dear to all of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Of course. So here's the situation for those that don't know. A couple weeks ago on this show, I did a two truths and a lie exercise.
I
with
nailed
Nick,
it.
Mm-hmm. And
it turns out I was wrong.
the thing was I made up. The lie was that Alfred Molina is coming back as Otto Octavius in Spider-Man, and now it is true. So I was wrong. It was ended up just being three truths that I gave, which is insane. But
you're just better than you thought you were, apparently.
Yeah,
I guess. Or worse than I thought I was, really, is what it comes down to.
You'd pick that from some rumor website, assuming it was not real, right?
Well, but back then, it wasn't a rumor. It was rumor started a couple days after I said that. Which was like, oh, that's kind of a funny thing that people are saying that. And then now it's official. But regardless, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the actual thing itself. Now let me go off for a second. Okay. I know we're all very familiar with the Spider-Man lore and the Spider-Man movies. We've done the whole interview. We've done MCU and all this stuff. I just want to give the Tim Gettys perspective on all this.
Okay. Please do.
I'm a little worried about where we're at with the Spider-Man 3 movie. I trust MCU. They've never let me down. Why should I worry? Because they know what they're doing. They've proven that time and time again. However, when it comes to Spider-Man, when it comes to Tom Holland Spider-Man, we have yet to get a friendly neighborhood. I'm in New York. I'm dealing with my own shit. Spider-Man. We get Homecoming. Tony Stark. It's an Avenger story, just in a minor way. But he's dealing with all the tech. He's dealing with all that stuff, right? Far from home. He's in London. He's so far from friendly
From home. So far from home.
So far from home. We get the Infinity War. We get the Civil War. We get the Endgame. All that stuff. Big Avenger level stuff, right? I want to get a smaller level thing of Spider-Man with other villains, with Spider-Man villains specifically, to start building out what will inevitably become the Sinister Six, because we know that. We understand it's all going to happen one day. We see the Morbius thing happening and the vultures in that, Michael Keaton, whatever. I don't even want to talk about that stuff. That is a whole other can of worms when it comes to this, right?
Knowledge. Yeah. Speaking of knowledge, Gab, I forgot Morbius is being made. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's made, dude. Baby. Oh,
yeah, totally. It's happening. But I'm keeping that Sony Spider Universe out of this. I'm just talking about what we seems like we're getting in this. Because it seems like, based on knowing Jamie Foxx is coming back as Electro, knowing that Otto Octavius, Alfred Molina, and seeing rumors of a quote-unquote confirmed Kirsten Stewart. No, Dunst. Kirsten Dunst. Coming back as Mary Jane.
And if you're a new viewer, that was when we were trying to get her to come play Smash Brothers with us.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's recap that for a second. If you've come in the next any time in the last 3 years, Greg thought it would be a great idea to start a hashtag Smash the Dunst to encourage Kirsten Dunst to come and collaborate with us, and it did not work out.
For the record, I did not know that Smash was synonymous with fucking. All right, or porking. Depending on
nowadays it'd be pork the Dunst, and it'd be like, well,
no, we wouldn't do that. I would know that.
Hmm.
I'm come from the innocent world of video games. All right, I didn't know Smash was a bad thing.
Jesus,
from the mouth of babes.
Not bad at all.
Nothing wrong. Well, I mean, bad in the context I was using it.
Yeah, I thought
she's not going to see hashtag Smash the Dunst to be like, oh, these guys want to play Smash.
There's no context that she could think of that's going to be positive for hashtag Smash the Dunst, unless she's like a hardcore Smash Bros. Fan. But that I don't think she would default to thinking about that though.
All right, sorry, but just back on track. There's rumors of her coming and Emma Stone.
And Emma Stone coming back as Gwen Stacy, right? Whatever. And then on top of that, there's been rumors for a long time to McGuire and Andrew Garfield coming in to reprise the roles as Peter Parker / Spider-Man. And so with all of that, I look at it. Of course, this is exciting to me. Like a live action Spider-Verse, like looking back at all these franchises and whatever we thought about them then, there's a chance to do it right now. Seeing them interact with Tom Holland, all that stuff sounds great. But not as the third Spider-Man movie. That is an event. That to me is the fourth movie after we get a little bit farther from Endgame. Let's get a little smaller, right? Let's build this stuff up so that when we, because this seems like, and again, I could be totally off, we could all be totally off, and it ends up not being this at all, and it's just we get Alfred Molina as a brand new Doc Ock and Jamie Foxx as a brand new Electro, and that's it, right? But we can all assume that right now there's setting up, it's Spider-Man Spider-Verse versus a Sinister Six from across the multiverse, right? Cool idea, but again, I still argue that would be better in a fourth movie after this third movie like really gives us Scorpion, really gives us, you know, characters beyond just having the Vulture and maybe Mysterio. Is he dead? Is he not? Nick Scarpino, you had a question?
It was less of a question, more of a comment. As you said, we can all assume, and then you said an incredibly complex thing after that. I got super confused, and then I looked at Andy's screen. Andy looked down, and I think he got super confused too, but I'm not quite sure if he did or not. Please continue.
Are you confused? Well,
if you remember from the hit show, Kinda Funny in Review, we reviewed all the Spider-Man movies, correct, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the fate of one Alfred Molina, Otto Octavius?
Yeah, he got a shed brought down on him.
Do you remember the fate of one Emma Stone, Gwen Stacy?
Yeah. Snapped her back like a coconut.
So the idea here would be that as the MCU introduces the multiverse.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize, guys. I understand exactly what Tim's saying, but there was a moment that the wheel in my head had to catch up to him. And as that was happening, I looked over and that thought process was mirrored perfectly on Andy's face. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Okay.
I apologize. Tim is doing a great job, bang up dog, completely explaining this, but Tim goes, we all know these things, and then proceeds to put a fucking Goodwill Hunting thing on the backboard where that stuff, but then it equals fun, and I go, yeah, it's fun, it's great.
My wheel is like catching up with you too, Nick.
Sorry, I apologize. That was a bad joke. Continue, Tim.
No, but I'm with you where it's, yes, it does equal fun, and all this is very exciting. And of course, I wish we didn't hear it from Hollywood Reporter. We get to see the movie and lose our fucking minds when alfredmolinas.com. That'd be great. That's not the world we're living in. The world we're living in right now is it seems like they're jumping to this very soon. If everything goes right, a year from now, December 2021, we will be getting this movie. And that is crazy because I feel like we should be a lot farther from it, from getting what this movie seems to be. And then Greg kind of alluded to this, but I also think that we're jumping ahead of how cool this movie is actually going to be. Because in our minds, we're like, oh, wow, it's all the different universes kind of coming together and it's characters that we know coming back. But that gets difficult when a lot of those characters have died already. So it's not even the Gwen Stacy we know from Amazing Spider-Man. It's not even the Doc Ock we know from Spider-Man.
This one's racist. Yeah, this one's racist.
You never know. But I just think that at some point,
Gwen Stacy,
we're losing the coolness of this. It's still a cool idea. But when we start getting into the details of it, MCU, they pulled off Endgame. So I believe they could pull this off. But I'm a little hesitant about
but this
how
is the
much
same-
is being thrown in.
This is the same problem you had with when we got the Morbius trailer and it introduced Vulture at the end. I remember you distinct. I remember being like, oh, man, that's neat. And you'd be like, no, it's not, because I trust MCU to do this. I do not trust Sony to do this. I feel like that's a similar thing here that you're talking about, right?
Well, it's different. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to keep that stuff out of it, because like that stuff they could be building. And then they could have.
Andy, can you please strike that from the record?
Kevin, can you please strike that from the record?
It has been struck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Butterfinger, Kevin.
And the reason I wanted to not bring that up,
it didn't work,
is because I personally do believe there is a world where that stuff actually benefits what I'm saying and gets us to a real quality Sinister Six movie of using these Sony-verse things to actually introduce us to villains, not Morbius, but to build up Scorpion, to build up a Kraven, to build up a Sinister Six, right? An Otto Octavius that exists in the Tom Holland world, so we understand what this is.
I'm right there with you, Tim, where I feel like I do feel like they're rushing this, and I feel like they're rushing it. I mean, who knows what all this is going to, or why they're doing all this, probably because they need to make some money. But it would have been cool if they had spent a little bit more time in building up to that, like they did with the Avengers, but on the Sinister Six side, right? That could have been a really hype moment. And it does give me pause and make me worry that they bring all these actors back. When I first read that, I read it anecdotally and thought, oh, they're just bringing back this person as Octavius, but then like cameo, like what's her name's going to cameo, Kristen Dunst or whatever. But the fact that they're going to bring her back as,
we don't know exactly what they're doing. We are jumping.
Well, you have to imagine if they're bringing back one for his role, and Jamie Foxx is coming back as Electro, which we know already.
Yeah,
that the other
I know.
Two
no,
are,
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Don't get me wrong.
It's not that hard of a.
My thought process on it, whether it's right or wrong, right, is the fact that they, even though you want a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man movie or more of him, just in, correct me if I'm wrong, you want what the Raimi movies were, but in the Tom Holland universe, right? Of like, I'm in New York and I work at the Bugle, and oh man, this is I got to help MJ, but Aunt May needs me. That kind of thing,
I'm
right?
I'm only saying I want that before we get this.
Like, and you don't count Homecoming as that.
I mean, I think if anything, Homecoming is the best example of it so far, but that still has so much Tony Stark in it. Like that's still,
sure.
Spider-Man wasn't allowed to just be Peter Parker, Spider-Man, like to some extent, but like, it was
different. I understand.
That movie did a good job of introducing Shocker, introducing lightly Scorpion, Vulture. And introducing Vulture, obviously, right? But like
Prowler as well.
Scorpion's not enough ready enough to just be in the Sinister Six. He was hinted at in the other movie, you know? Yeah. Like we need, so this movie's gonna have to explain setting up that he is a real threat. He's a supervillain, Scorpion, and then introduce the multiverse stuff, and then cool, Otto's here and Jamie is Electro and all that stuff. And I think they can pull that off. But my problem is I can't rectify, and I'm not an MCU writer, so someone else is doing this, but I can't rectify those villains being the same villains we know, because that doesn't add up. They're dead. We saw what happened.
No, but the multiverse, there's endless versions of the multiverse. And
Spider-Man was a pig in one of them.
The thing that gets me the most excited that I think would be fucking rad is getting Andrew Garfield, right? And he is the Amazing Spider-Man that we know from those movies, and letting him in this multiverse thing see Emma Stone. And it's not his Gwen, but it is Gwen. I love that kind of shit. Spider-Verse when that happens.
Greg, he's got a mustache in this one. Think about it.
That could be cool, but then the Otto we're getting is not going to be the Otto from Spider-Man 2.
But it is for all intents and purposes, but he didn't die there. You know what I mean? Like,
what if he never went bad?
Yeah.
He beat Spider-Man or whatever. Like, that's explained in a line. And then Alfred Molina just gets to fucking be You get a flashback of, even if they took the footage from Spider-Man 2, right, and they just changed it with computers, right, of like, no, I fucking squashed the bug and then my thing went off and I fucking destroyed New York. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I can picture the Gwen Stacy death scene as she's about to hit. She gets saved. And that's like how she was saved in her
chances universe are. That's where her that Peter other... dies or something. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, I think the most concerning thing about all this is that we're not getting your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man movie before that, before this whole like epic, which is about to happen. Right. And wait, first off, do we know if it's only one movie?
That's what I was going to say. It could be two parts. They could be setting all this stuff up now. Because
I feel like all this could be leading up to a bigger sort of epic, a multi-film thing. Because I feel like the more we get into this, we're just like sprinting away from the idea of any sort of friendly neighborhood thing. Like, it's never going to happen now.
Marvel doesn't have access to Spider-Man for more than like two movies or something, right? One standalone movie and one movie using him in like a Avenger style thing, right? Mm-hmm. That was the last deal.
How much was Tom Holland's contract?
Right now it's the same thing. Same contract.
I feel they do this, they introduce this, then they can tell Spider-Man stories without having to worry about continuity in him and that as he gets older, let alone what's going on with COVID and how far production schedules have been pushed back and what's going on with all the different things that are getting pushed around. I mean, that's the thing, the sad part. I mean, hold on. The sad part of COVID, of course, is the 250,000 dead. You know what I mean? Like, all the people in the fucking world we live in our day-to-day shit, yada, yada, yada. But in terms of this conversation, right, like, what has this done in general to the contracts and the bodies of the people who have now taken a year off, and like, what does that look like for the movies that were on the slate? And like, when do you get to a Blade anymore if they're still trying to get off the ground what they were trying to get going a year ago or shit like that?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing right now. Why don't you ask that question to Chris Hemsworth, who apparently nobody told him he wasn't going to be in movies this year.
But that's because he's gearing up to his thing, right? Like, isn't that the thing?
They like, all are. I mean, yeah. On the behind the scenes production stuff, like Marvel Studios is actually like super on track. Like, oh, yeah. Everything was delayed. Everything is behind production wise about 6 months. But like, otherwise, like all the contracts, all the actors and stuff, like they're roaring to go. Everything's shooting and filming right now.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm just like, again, it's a weird thing where I'm seeing all this, and of course, I'm excited.
Tim, I'm with you though, because it does feel like when you say something that epic, you're like, how are they going to? They have to make it two parts, or it has to be built up to that. And I'm hoping Andy's right, where it's just, we're dipping our toe in here. We're getting we're educating the audience on it, and then boom, we're going to hit them with something later. What it really kind of smacks to me is, and this is, I mean this seriously, I'm not trying to get Greg's goat on this one, but like doing one movie and then immediately going into a Justice League movie. We're like, wow, that's
oh yeah, no, totally.
That
this is Tim's right that this is a, not only is it a page out of the DCEU playbook of jumping way too fast. It's where the other Marvel, or I shouldn't say Marvel, superhero movies in general. I always think of Spider-Man 3. There's just too much going on in Spider-Man 3. I was so excited for Spider-Man 3. And then you get there and it's just too much. So everything's half-assed. So it's a shitty movie. Like, yeah. That's what we're talking about here, right? Of like, to Tim's point, like, I'm saying you explain away Doc Ock being different in a second. You explain away maybe Gwen from Emma Stone is just like literally a scene. Like, Peter gets dropped off in that universe or pops in for 2 seconds. But like, yeah, there's a lot going on to explain, but we are... in, you know, how to explain multiverse and all that stuff. We are in a post Into Spider-Verse world. We are in a post Endgame world. I remember leaving Endgame, or the lead up to Endgame, and the 900 conversations we had about it, talking about how, as a comic book fan, how insane it was that MCU had gotten to this point where a mainstream audience can walk in and understand time travel and understand what's going on and understand different timelines and what's it like. I remember how confusing superheroes in general were, even to talk about like Amazing Spider-Man, and people be like, oh, so this is a sequel to Spider-Man 3? Like, no, like what? How does, no, and like the Batman universe and everything else.
Well, yeah, I'm crossing my fingers really quick. I'm just crossing my fingers that all of these cameos that are being announced and slowly being leaked, that they are kind of the end of the movie tie-up thing to then lead into a second movie that is all about that. And I don't think that's going to happen because Raimi's working on Multiverse of Madness, right?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that supposed to come out before this and lead into that? Or am I wrong about that?
Because when we started seeing the leaks of Jamie Foxx and stuff, people were putting that together, but
gotcha.
Yeah. I just feel like I hope that this Spider-Man movie can act as a pseudo sequel to the Multiverse of Madness movie and have them all sort of be tied together in some really cool way. That's what I'm hoping.
Multiverse of Madness, if I remember correctly, is now after this.
I think it's 2022 now, right?
Yeah, because this is 2021. And the Doctor Strange is supposedly going to lead off of WandaVision.
Wikipedia has Multiverse of Madness is March 25th, 2022.
Yeah. But Doctor
Strange, I don't think you're going to make it
in Spider-Man 3.
Okay. Wait, what's that again?
Doctor Strange is going to be in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, that's right. I remember all that. There was a lot of great tweets of Benedict Cumberbatch confirmed, and everybody's like, wow, I can't believe they got Benedict Cumberbatch like to be Doctor Strange. Great casting.
Huge.
Yeah.
I miss fucking talking MCU. God,
I know, right?
Damn, this fucking pandemic.
The one thing I want to say, and this is the
opinion, we got Wonder Woman coming up.
The opinion part of it all is I just think that having Alfred Molina come back as
a different Doc Ock,
but it being a different Doc Ock is kind of like it's significantly less cool than Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst coming back as the same characters older. Because it's actually that.
But isn't that the same thing too? Think of if it is the Spider-Man, Raimi, Tobey Maguire, and Kirsten Dunst, to have them there and then have their Doc Ock show up, but it's not there, but like the fucking horror in their faces are like, oh my God, like this guy we thought we beat is back, and this is the Doc Ock that beat us. And
what I don't like about that is from the logic of this, of following this, is Tom Holland is Spider-Man and it doesn't look like Tobey Maguire, right? So I think it would be cooler if Tobey Maguire's villain from the multiverse that he's bringing into this was a villain we haven't seen yet, or a different one of these, like a Rhino, or are we seeing Rhino? Okay. But like their version of Rhino with a new actor, right?
Sure.
And then, you know, you could have someone else from Tom Holland's universe coming in, but it's like, I would rather the universes that are colliding in this multiverse be the actual universes we know, not just, oh, it's the same actors, but it's totally different and unrelated to that thing.
Or check this out.
This is a million-dollar idea.
This is really stupid, but I just want to say it anyway. Because what sort of reminded me of this is the beginning of Spider-Verse, where we first see Spider-Man, hey, I'm Peter Parker, whatever. And it wasn't immediately obvious to me that Chris Pine was the first one, and Homeboy was the second one. What's his name?
Yeah, Nick from New Girl.
Jake Johnson.
It was that was not immediately obvious to me until watching it back and kind of hearing that Spider-Man 20. Well, what the fuck is that Spider-Man called?
2099.
The 2099 was voiced by
Oscar Isaac.
Isaac. When that was sort of leaked and kind of talked about on the internet, I was like, oh shit, they were different voices. I never like kind of realized that the whole time. What if it's just Tobey Maguire and if it's the different Spider-Verses, the different Spider-Man, the different Spider-Verses are voiced by the different people. It's all ADR. And what if we get me in there?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Now, okay, can I go you one further? Can we get you in there?
Go ahead.
If we're going to get Kirsten Dunst and Emma Stone.
Shirtless Spider-Man.
We got to do Justin Timberlake down there. Then, of course, you have to bring back Bryce Dallas Howard as the other Gwen Stacy. Right? Then the most important thing you need is Tobey Maguire's ugly cry face. That's got to happen. And then all of the Spider-Men come and just punch it.
That's the end credit scene you wait around for 12 minutes.
Everyone's like, damn, kind of funny in review is right.
It's weird end
to the movie. I think it's gonna be a beautiful disaster. I can't wait.
I will be really interested to see the streaming numbers that happen for the Raimi and Garfield Spider-Man movies. I am so interested to see what the uptick on those are gonna be leading up to this movie, because you know everybody's going to go back and rewatch him. And I got to assume there's a lot of people who, a lot of younger audiences who are really familiar with the Tom Holland universe and this current iteration of MCU that maybe haven't seen the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Like, I don't see that being out of the realm of possibility. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't really have to educate people anymore with stuff like that, right? Like, an audience member can go in and understand that other people have been past Spider-Man. The thing with me is, like, having all these characters back is interesting, and it's kind of gimmicky, but it's not cool to me. It's not cool that they're getting Jamie Foxx back, and it's not cool that Alfred Molina is coming back as Doc Ock, because to me, they did a great job, don't get me wrong, but I don't think of those as, like, as iconic as if, like, someone were to be like, hey, let's get Keaton back in the bat suit and have that be a moment somewhere. To me, no, but to me, that's like
equally cool.
No fucking way. No
way. The sun in the palm of my hand. Alfred Molina fucking kicked ass as Doc Ock.
I'm not saying he was bad. I'm just saying I don't think of that role for played by Alfred Molina as being an iconic role.
He retired from acting after that role. That's how good it was.
That's all he needed. Yeah, it was a walk off. It was a big walk off, Greg. He called his shot all in left field. Pretty sure
he did like four more movies after that.
I mean, I can't. Sure did, who knows?
Pretty sure he did Frida after that, but
no way we got an Academy
Award. Yeah, I wish I had that information in front of me, but I can't. I can't
afford it.
Yeah.
I just pulled that
in this multiverse.
Anyway,
so we don't have Google. We use Bing, and it's all wrong.
We use Lugal from Hot Tub Time Machine. Great,
you love that movie.
Good, it's a great movie.
That was Hot Tub Time Machine too. Sorry, I apologize, guys.
Oh gosh,
who could? All the hardcore Hot Tub Time Machine people. Yeah, because Lugal, remember, that's when he goes back. He starts Lugal.
Yeah, but it's at the end of the first movie when they come back. Yeah, don't worry about it. I know a Hot Tub Time Machine. I made Jen and Lucy watch it back to back. Or we watched number one, then number two on like a Monday and a Tuesday.
Can you believe that John Cusack had the balls to turn down the lead role in Hot Tub Time Machine 2 because he thought, and I quote, the first was terrible.
Just suck it up, Cusack. Come have some fun.
I might misspoke. I can't remember why he didn't do the second one. Maybe didn't schedule anything, but that fucking first movie was so funny.
That's such great honesty. We need more of that, man. We need more of that, dude.
Yeah, Greg, what do you find? What can you find out? I know what did he say?
To save money, original star and producer John Cusack wasn't asked back and was replaced with a new character played by Adam Scott instead. This is a screen rant. Yeah, article about why Hot Tub Time Machine 3 won't happen.
That's right. Like, just saying stuff that's not true. Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Damn.
The first Hot Tub Time Machine was a revelation. I'll never forget Anthony Cava. When he used to work for IGN LA, he used to get to go to all the movie premieres, and he got to go to Hot Tub Time Machine. And I asked him, I was like, dude, is it funny? Like, it looks so amazing. And he goes, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So damn. I put off watching it for so long. And then one night it was on, and right off the bat, it got me. And I'm like, this is stupid. One of the funniest things anyone's ever fucking made.
That's why you don't listen to Cop. Don't listen to Cop. I've said it for years.
Never listen to him again.
I just want to throw this out there because I haven't publicly talked about this yet. A lot of people are wondering what my thoughts are
on Hot Tub Time Machine.
Dan Le Batard's show is leaving ESPN and going independent, which is really cool and awesome. And the news broke, I think, during an interview episode, and I was shook. I was like, oh my God. Because at first I thought it was just Dan leaving the show. And then you get to the bottom of the letter, it's like,
they're going to fucking demolish.
Don't be scared. And of course, the whole like last couple of episodes, the past few days have just been like, Stu Gotz is a free agent and he can do Cameo now. And he's just like so excited to fucking like just rake it in. And he's like, well, what's the price of the Cameo if I make it $100? And they're like, yeah, but you can't go $100 immediately. You have to like lead into the higher prices. And they're like, yeah, but if you go too low, you're going to get too lazy because you're going to have a lot of requests and you're not going to do any of them. And it's just awesome seeing the sort of like what's happening now and how it's all kind of unfurling and they're being more free talking about ESPN and Disney. Go ahead, Nick Scarpino.
Is it now, was the relationship like kind of muddled strained? Or is it just because there's been no sports and they can't afford the Le Batard show anymore?
No, the relationship has been strained for a while. And 3 weeks ago, there was a ESPN mass layoff, and one of the producers, Chris Cody, got laid off, and he announced that on Twitter. He was really, really sad about it and shit. And Dan ended up hiring him as his personal assistant, paying him out of his own pocket, and brought him back on the show. But he was very blindsided by that and very pissed off that ESPN did that. And this goes, I mean, it's not only that, it is the new management. It is them not getting, like, they're the number one show easily on ESPN when it just comes to pure numbers. They are the kind of funny of the sports world. Like, nobody else has a fan base like that. You don't, there's not a SportsCenter fan base that would go out to a SportsCenter live and listen to podcasts of like these people, these talking heads. Like Dan Le Batard, they are their entity, and they talk about how sticky the show is all the time because people listen in droves. And but ESPN never like talks about them because they don't really talk about sports a whole lot. They still do, but ESPN never publicizes them and are kind of, it seems like they're kind of ashamed of having them on the network. And so I think they eventually just said, you know what, we're gonna try to cut ties, and they did. And everybody's assuming it's either Spotify or a SiriusXM deal.
They're gonna go to Spotify.
Everybody is saying it's Spotify, so because some people in the subreddit are pointing out that the sort of Spotify year in review things, that they were retweeting those things hard. They retweeted mine saying like, I listened to 29,000 minutes of Dan Le Batard's show over the last year. And they were going hard on those sort of retweets. And I got to assume it's because Spotify either picked them up or some other network. But
I mean, Spotify,
I'm excited because they, whenever they would try to get to talk about the tougher side of politics, ESPN and Disney were not really happy about that. So that's why they created the magic creative content that just magically appears and interrupts whatever the topic is. And I'm excited to see what they can do now without any shackles. You know what I mean? It's going to be really
cool. I don't buy 100% that Spotify doesn't shackle you a little bit, because Rogan's been having a couple problems here and there with them, but overall it's going to be much better than Disney. That's for sure.
Oh, that was my question. Wait, so as somebody who doesn't listen, what would you notice that the shackles were that they had on them?
I mean, just talking about anything politics wise, I think when the whole China NBA stuff started breaking, where Daryl Morey, the former GM of the Rockets, kind of openly spoke about how terrible of a place China is being to its citizens.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and the NBA pretty much had a gag order on him. And then LeBron James defended like China and the NBA and stuff, and it was like, oh, this isn't a great look. Like, you're defending like the awful stuff that they're doing to a lot of the people living there. And they would try to talk about it, and they were told not to. Like, they couldn't talk. They couldn't talk about the politics stuff unless it had a connective tissue to sports.
To sports, yeah.
And so whenever they would try to talk about Trump, they would always find like little ways around it to kind of skirt the lines. And you could just tell that management was not happy with with what they were doing. Cause you know, Dan loves talking about like just racial injustice and a lot of the issues that are in America, and Stu Gatz is terrified. And then after 7 minutes of talking, Dan will be like, Stu, do you have anything to say? You've been quiet this whole time, but it's important. It's important conversation, Dan. I'm glad we're having it. And that's like all he would say, cause he's just so scared to touch the topic. But I'm just super like excited for them. And I was really initially worried, thinking that they were just done, like, because we all kind of felt that something was going to happen, but I'm glad that they are all going to go like get paid, and they're going to get paid.
It's the difference is, though, it'll be interesting to see, right? Because if they go to Sirius, like, obviously, like, the big ones for me in my lifetime have seen, like, I've watched Howard Stern quit terrestrial radio, go to Sirius, and then obviously Rogan just went from being independent to going to Spotify. I think Rogan's a little bit more, like, probably has a better time of doing that, or easier time of doing that, rather, because he's always been independent, and his show is so lo-fi. It'll be interesting to see if they go to Spotify, how they work that out, because I don't know if, like, does Dan, I guess all of us producers would probably know how to do that, but do you need that many people in the room? Don't they have like 3 or 4 producers and like 3 or 4 people?
Yeah, it's Dan, Stu Gatz, the main host, but everybody is like just a cast of the show.
It's kind of funny
where if you're part of it, no matter what you do, you get on camera and you talk and you become something that he told a really, really great anecdote the other day. And he's been telling a lot of these stories that are kind of contrasting themselves to these stories. And he brings up a story about how in The Office, Steve Carell, how the whole sort of cast of The Office and crew knew that they had a hit on their hands early on. This is like 2 years in, maybe 2 or 3 years in. And they, you know, Steve Carell would be walking around and they would get approached by just people in the streets and be like, oh, I love the show, man. You know who's my favorite character? Stanley. And Dan was like, yeah. And then Stanley hadn't been in an episode in like 4 episodes. But it's just all these little characters have become so important. And there was a point in the production of The Office that they wanted to lay off some of the actors. And Steve Carell said, if you fire anybody, I'm done. You can't lay anybody off or else right. I won't
it ruins the dynamic. It ruins the, yeah. It ruins the special formula.
Yeah. So Dan is sort of telling this story anecdotally. And then Mike Ryan, the producer, is like, you're talking about The Office, right? He's like, yeah, I'm talking about The Office. So it seems like he's slowly kind of leaking out things that ESPN was probably pushing on them and stuff like that.
Right.
Interesting you bring up Howard Stern, Nick. Howard Stern, I'm reading this on New York Post, inks a 5-year deal with SiriusXM. 60-year-old rock doc just extended his current contract. The Sirius shares rose as much as 2.4%, blah, blah, blah. Where's the actual numbers, though? It's insane. Oh, here we go. Whoa. They're prepared to pay Stern about $120 million a year to keep him around.
Holy goddamn shit. Yeah, that dude, is that's a lot
that's
of money.
Wait, that's an old argument, like, or they do this again?
No, his brand new contract. Agreement. So he's been being paid $80 to $100 million a year.
Yeah.
And his new contract will be around $120 million a year to keep
him around. So here's the thing, like, and that's what's crazy about that is, and I don't mean in disrespect to Sirius, I have no fucking idea who's on Sirius Satellite Radio other than Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be tons of people who are in the comments that are like, oh no, there's a great host of programming that goes in there. I have absolutely no doubt about that. But I have no understanding of Sirius Satellite Radio. And what's up?
It's TV. It's just like, it's one of those things where we all look at it, it's just like, well, nobody has that, but it's just like, it's the standard that everyone's had for
right.
so long.
It's Comcast cable, right? And everyone's if you buy a new car,
it comes with the thing.
And you want the thing and they give you the free month and then they hound you for like 2 months afterward. So I get it, but man, I mean, subscription-based stuff. That's why it's going to be interesting to see where they go, because if they go to Spotify, I don't know if they're going to get as much support as Sirius can give them. I think Sirius would be smart if they nabbed him up, because that would be a huge feather in their cap. But I don't know.
I was
disappointed when Rogan decided to go to Spotify, because I don't like the idea of anyone having to do anything under a corporate entity. And I know that it's Joe Rogan and he's not going to give a fuck if Spotify tells him not to do something. He's going to do it anyway. But to me, it would be interesting to watch what the Levitard show could do unhinged, like untethered rather, or, you know. Kept back,
unhinged.
Unhinged. Sorry, but you know what I mean. Like they take the shackles off. They can curse. They can say whatever they want to say and talk about those important issues. I think they'd have more growth.
It's just been so great having Sugats be like, I get 2 paychecks now. Look at that. I get to stay here, and I get to... like, no, you have to leave with us. And they're like, I am so scared of Sugats and what he is planning to do, because now, like, he can get paid from anywhere and he is a free agent and everybody wants him. Like, it's just been so funny hearing those conversations. But yeah, that's kind of been taking up my whole last sort of week, kind of just
that's
reading.
Super cool.
The
it's super cool
that
they're doing it. That's cool.
Yeah. Excited for them.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Kind of Funny podcast. As usual, 4 best friends come around this microphone to bullshit about what's going on in their life. And it's not over yet. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. It's too many gaming shows I'm on. Patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the post share for the Kind of Funny podcast we're about to do. We're going to answer Chris's question. And the question is simple. Did I ruin Christmas? Of course, ladies and gentlemen, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get every episode live as we record it, like the Lou's watching, like Mike is watching, like Lexi is watching. Of course, you can write in to be part of the show, just like everybody else has that we've talked about. And of course, you can support us and take care of us and get it with that post show ad free and everything else under the Kind of Funny sun. Ladies and gentlemen, if you come on to Patreon right now, you can watch the rest of the show. If you don't, we'll see you next time. Until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.